Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring Giants players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
Giants third baseman Matt Duffy joins us each homestand.
I think when I'm going best is when I'm just staying short, trying to hit the ball right back up the middle and seeing it well.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Today's guest is Jorge Ortiz from USA Today. And Jorge, I know you were at the All-Star game in San Diego, and that was a great game. It was a lot of fun to watch all the festivities, really, the home run derby and the All-Star game. So how much did you enjoy it, and you know, what did you think of the whole way that it went down?
You know, it was pretty cool, especially you were talking about the derby. I'm not usually a big fan of it, but if it involves Giancarlo Stanton, then I changed my mind. You know, he's just such a beast. You know, his power capabilities are so breathtaking that it was fun to watch him put on a show. He had, I think it was like 61 out. And then at one point, I made my way up to the warehouse building, you know, which has a really neat vantage point, and people were enjoying the festivities there. And I just watching him tee off and, you know, some of the balls coming our way, that was a really cool thing. So I think his presence really gave the game a lift. And I would imagine he'll be there to defend the title next year, since he won't have to travel. The game's in Miami.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun to watch him doing that. You know, I look at it from a Giants perspective, and for one thing, the National League lost the game, so if the Giants get to the World Series, no home field advantage. And the other part of it was no Brandon Crawford. I mean, I think that kind of leaves you with a feeling of maybe something needs to be changed or tweaked as far as the voting, because really, I mean, in my mind, the best shortstop in the National League wasn't on the team. I mean, what do you think about that?
You know, I thought Crawford, not to sound provincial, but I really thought he was the most glaring omission from the game. You know, he should have started the game, but I know that fans voted for Addison Russell, and you live with that. But once they, you know, then the players voted for Corey Seager, who's a terrific young player. I really like him. But he's a rookie, and, you know, Crawford has won two World Series championships. He's won a Gold Glove, a silver silver slugger. So the fact that he would get left behind in favor of Corey Seager by the players, I found that just totally puzzling and kind of clueless on the players' part. And then even more so when Matt Carpenter was replaced, and you figure, okay, no, this is a spot where they would bring in Crawford. Instead, they went with another rookie, Ledmys Diaz of the Cardinals. Again, having a fine season, but come on, doesn't, you know, your resume have any bearing on this? You know, doesn't your track record, you know, impress people the way, you know, you have contributed to World Series championships? So I could not understand that one. You know, Terry Collins tried to explain picking a Ledmys Diaz and really did not do himself any favors in his explanation. You know, it didn't make any sense to me. You know, but by and large, you know, the players who should have been there were there. But Crawford was a big omission.
Oh, I totally agree with you there. And the other part about this that, you know, I've never been a proponent of this All-Star game, you know, being the answer to who ends up with a home field advantage in the World Series. I mean, I just don't think that you should be playing for that at the All-Star game, where it's more of an exhibition. And I think the managers still don't treat it like it's a must-win situation. I mean, you've got players coming in. They're trying to get everybody in there. And even Buster Posey made a comment about how, you know, you're taking starters out after a few innings, and that's the game that matters for home field advantage. So, I mean, I guess it's not going to change anytime soon, but what are your feelings about it?
Well, this is strictly a television-driven decision, yeah. And as often happens, those are wrong-headed. You know, the idea is to make it more relevant, and therefore people will tune in more. Well, guess what? It didn't really happen. You know, they had the worst ratings ever for this game. So it is not a good idea whatsoever to tie this to home field advantage. You know, and by the same token, it's not a good idea to have home field advantage be determined by whether it's an even year or an odd year. That's just as idiotic. It should be determined by record, okay? And why baseball didn't adopt that format before going with the the current one is something that puzzles me, and I'm sure they'll talk about the difficulty of logistics or whatever. But other leagues do it. Baseball should be able to adjust, and if you have to secure hotels at the last minute or whatever, then you do it. But the fair thing to do would be to have the team with the best record have the home field advantage for however long, initially in your league. And then if you get to the World Series, in the World Series, none of this nonsense from, the All-Star game deciding it, or, which year it is. None of that make any sense to me.
Well, maybe that low rating that you talked about will change things. Who knows? Because, maybe they'll say we don't have to determine the World Series home field by this because we're not getting better ratings anyway. Maybe down the road that could change.
I'd like to see that change, absolutely. If you ask the players, they would as well. And do they care more about the outcome of the game because of the home field advantage? Well, there are reports that half of them were gone before the game was over, so maybe they don't care that much about the outcome regardless.
I think the signature touching moment of this game, the one that will be remembered for years, is David Ortiz coming off the field and getting hugs from his teammates. A really good job by Ned Yost to take him out for the pinch runner there when he got on base. And, that's just something I think everybody's going to remember. What kind of reaction did you get to that since you were there at the All-Star game? What did players say about that moment?
Yeah, people were definitely into it. The crowd gave him a nice ovation. All the players came out, and he really handled himself so well as a terrific ambassador for baseball, because it's really draining to go through all that, just the constant attention. He was just like Jeter was in the past and Mariano. They were the focus of every story, and, they were asked a million questions, and they were shuttled around from this point to the other place. So I know it was really draining. David was mentioning in Spanish, before doing a pregame interview that he'd been invited to two parties the night before, and he couldn't go to either one. He just had to go to bed. He was just exhausted. So it really takes a lot out of these guys, and yet he really handled it so well. He held court with the media for more than 20 minutes after they took him out of the game. And he was in different degrees, or switching back and forth between being kind of melancholy and just really deep in thought and philosophical, and alternately was the word I was looking for. And at other points, he was kind of his usual jocular self. And there was one point that was very funny during the press conference when a Dominican reporter asked him, "Well, you've told us that you're determined to retire for sure after this year, but what happens if midway through next season you're hanging out at a Dominican beach and you get a call from the Red Sox saying, 'We're desperate, we'll pay you $25 million to come back'?" And he started laughing, just like many of us did. And he said that it was harder for him to prepare for the games now. It's just really taking a toll on him. So he's going out on his own terms. He's made his decision. He's absolutely certain about it. And then he said, "But then again, when you're hanging out with a beer in hand at a Dominican beach, who's thinking about baseball?"
Right.
I thought it was a perfect answer.
That was. I mean, it's kind of like people are thinking of the Roger Clemens treatment. You play half the season. And you can understand these questions, Jorge, because here's David Ortiz, and he was in San Francisco last month, and he was getting those questions here in the Bay Area about, you're having an MVP season. Why retire now? Now the Giants are going to play the Red Sox Tuesday and Wednesday at Fenway Park. And, still it's on our minds here in California. Like, why is this guy retiring? He's having such a great year. You wonder if he would reconsider it. But from what you're telling us, it sounds like no way.
No, because it's just such a grind for him to get himself physically ready for the games that, he feels like, he's given everything he's got left to this season. And after that, he really is not going to have anything more. Like, you know, the amount of weight work and preparation and stretching and, you know, that's what happens when you're 40 years old. It's remarkable that he is performing at this level, but it really takes a toll out of you.
More with Jorge Ortiz from USA Today in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, where you might see Giants relief pitcher George Contos.
It's a great golf course. It's very convenient for us to get there, and it's a very challenging course. If you're not in your game, you get in the rough. Rough's long there. It's a very beautiful course. They're very gracious and get us out there anytime we're able to get out there for an off day and play some golf. So, with how beautiful the course is and how challenging it can be, it's always a lot of fun getting out there and playing around.
A little reminder, each week during the season, we'll be giving away a free T-shirt from thesportsvirus.com. All you have to do is ask a question for one of our guests, and if your question is chosen, you'll receive a free T-shirt from thesportsvirus.com. To send your questions in, email us at thesportsvirus@gmail.com or on Facebook, thesportsvirus.com page, and please like us while you're there. Now back to the conversation with Jorge Ortiz from USA Today. How do you look at what happened with Johnny Cueto in the All-Star game, giving up a couple of home runs? You know, it just didn't go well. He threw 32 pitches in that game. The Giants moved the rotation around after the All-Star break. So, you know, Samardzija is now slotted behind Bumgarner. And, of course, it didn't go well for the Giants in San Diego. They got swept. So, you know, they've already got all their injuries. Now, you know, they have Cueto had to get moved. Is it just a minor thing? I mean, do you think, you know, Cueto, it was no big deal? He had such a great first half that kind of thing is not going to affect him, even though he didn't have a great outing his first start after the All-Star break in San Diego.
Yeah, I don't see it as a big penalty or anything. You know, it's a huge honor to be invited to the All-Star game, and even more so to get the call to start. Cueto had only made one All-Star game before, which is pretty remarkable considering the career he's had. And he didn't get to pitch. So, you know, he was very enthused about going and about starting even more. So the fact that the Giants had to juggle their rotation a little bit afterward, I don't think it's that big a deal. And, you know, it's interesting because I was among the guys interviewing him in this outside the clubhouse when he came out. It was not in a press conference setting like David Ortiz, but just, you know, a group of us asking him questions. And of course, he always addresses them in Spanish. And he mentioned in passing how, you know, he woke up and he wasn't feeling all that well. And you didn't know whether, you know, exactly what he meant by that. Like, you know, he just was out of sorts as far as, you know, his body wasn't reacting like he would want to, you know, baseball was. But I think he really was sick. And actually that has continued today, yesterday. He had a poor outing. And the Giants had to have an emergency plan in case he couldn't go because he really was not feeling well. So I think that probably had something to do with it. But, you know, more than anything, he said, hey, you know, this is a major league. So I'm facing the best hitters in the world. And, you know, you make a couple of mistakes and they'll make you pay. And it just so happened those the guys making him pay were his former teammates, Salvador Perez and Eric Hosmer of the Royals. But, you know, I don't see this as a something that will endure or something that Giants fans need to be worried about. I think I would be a little more worried about Jess Samardzija because he has been so prone to the home run of late. And you know, he started the season off so well the first couple months. And then, you know, he had a very rough June. And in July, he's had, you know, one good start and one pretty bad one, another, you know, mediocre. So it's like, you know, your number three starter suddenly sporting a 4.05 ERA. That starts to concern me.
You know, it's funny. You have a team, the Giants, that went into the All-Star break with the best record in the major leagues, yet there are so many concerns. I mean, you mentioned Samardzija. The bullpen has a lot of blown saves. They're right up at the top as far as most blown saves now. You've got all kinds of injuries. Hunter Pence is taken out of his rehab assignment. He sits out a day. Maybe he tweaked his hamstring. We don't even know all the details on that. You got all these players that are trying to come back from injury, but it's really not a rosy picture for a team that had the best record coming into the All-Star break. I mean, how do you even look at the Giants going forward, you know, how did they do it, first of all, because they did have all those injuries and issues, and can they continue to do it?
Yeah, it's a good question, particularly because the schedule gets tougher now with this trip, and, you know, not just going on the road, but after that, they're going to have more challenging teams coming in to play them at AT&T. You know, Miami's coming into town. They're going to Miami. They're going to Washington. Baltimore's later coming into town. So the schedule is going to get tougher, and you know, it'll be a matter of whether they can withstand that. Pence's return would be crucial to that. They were able to kind of tread water, so to speak, as far as you know, surviving during his absence and without having to give up prospects for outfield help. And I think because of that, and because the Dodgers haven't really taken off, they've had the luxury of just going with Mac Williamson and Jarrett Parker and just wait till Pence comes back. And so ideally that will be in the next 10 days or so. But if not, then it is a concern. You know, how much longer is he going to be out? And, you know, how much are you going to miss him when you're facing these tougher teams? You know, they certainly could have used him in some of those games in San Diego where they got swept. So I think they deserve a lot of credit for the guys they have picked up who have come up and helped them. The Connor Gillespie's, the Ramiro Peña's, you know, guys they signed to minor league contracts who have been very useful. But typically, when you really miss a key player at most, it's not the first couple of games when they're gone. It's like along the length of his absence is when you notice what a big impact his absence has. So we'll see when Pence comes back, but that could be a big concern if his return is going to get delayed.
We'll have more with Jorge Ortiz from USA Today right after this.
Hey, how'd you get those cool new shirts for the trade show so fast?
Access!
Who makes all that great clothing for high schools and colleges?
Access!
How do I get my company logo embroidered on some nice polo shirts?
Access Uniforms is your go-to resource for customized clothing. Just call us to find the right product, email your artwork, and your order will be on its way directly from our factory right here in Burlingame. Call Access Uniforms at 877-755-LOGO. That's 877-755-L-O-G-O.
Well, the trade deadline's coming up. You know, who knows if the Giants will be active as far as a position player, but the one area that everybody's pointing to is the bullpen. I mentioned the blown saves. Santiago Casilla had one on Saturday, which was really troubling because he had been giving up the hits, but he also had the balk that ended the game. That was really a strange one. But do you see the Giants, first of all, making some type of move to strengthen the bullpen? You know, it's not just about the closer. You know, there's been some shakiness in there. It seems like they need to fortify it a little bit.
I would be shocked if they didn't bolster the bullpen. I think that they realize that's definitely the number one area of need. And whether it's picking up a closer, you know, an elite closer like an Aroldis Chapman or a more of a setup guy, they definitely need to address it. I think Sergio Romo's return is huge because, you know, he's a proven guy. He's somebody who... you know, who has been through the battles, and you can rely on him, particularly against right-handed hitters. But you need more help than that. You know, guys like Corey Gearing and Strickland and Josh Ulshish, they're useful guys, but they're young and, you know, they're vulnerable at times. You need somebody who you feel like you can rely on some more. But it's intriguing to me what approach they're going to take as far as fortifying the bullpen. You know, are they going to look for an eighth inning guy to share the duties with Romo, or do they feel like, okay, we can't really trust Casilla, who I believe has now five blown saves. You know, we need to go after a big gun. And definitely the number one available one out there would be Aroldis Chapman at a pretty steep price. You know, Andrew Miller's name has been thrown around as well, and he would be fantastic, but he would come at a considerably steeper price because he's under contract for a couple more years, whereas Chapman's a free agent after this season. So this is going to be a key move for the Giants who they bring in to bolster their bullpen, but I definitely expect them to add somebody.
And who they end up giving up, because you never know what that player is going to turn into, as we've seen. One great advantage I think that you have, Jorge, is being bilingual and being able to talk to the Latin players and guys who don't say a whole lot to the English-speaking media. And one of those guys is Santiago Casilla. I mean, tell us a little bit, if you can, a little inside into what he's about. How do you keep your confidence as a closer? Most guys will tell you that they have a short memory. You know, they have to just block it out. He seems like he keeps his confidence no matter what, no matter what the fans are saying, or, you know, if he's having a tough time, because you mentioned five blown saves. He still has great stuff, but what about the mental part of it for him? What do you see and what do you hear talking to him?
Well, he's a very religious guy. So I would think the first resource for him when things are not going well is leaning on his religion, really leaning on his faith, and, you know, just getting strength from that.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a guy who thrives on work, and, you know, he doesn't like to go more than a couple of days without throwing. And, you know, sometimes that might throw him off a little bit, the fact that he's not being used that much. You know, everybody has their own quirks. You know, he had a stretch there where he was very effective, and then, you know, he's had those blown saves, which have been very costly. And, you know, the Giants now lead the majors with, I believe, it's 18 blown saves. You know, with Casilla, when I saw that outing against the Padres on Saturday, he started off behind, you know, to a couple of, there might have been cutters that drifted away from a left-handed hitter. And so he started off behind 2-0, and then he came in with a very hittable 2-0 pitch and, you know, got hit for a single. The next at bat was very similar to that. So now he's in a hole. And then, you know, you bring in the infield, you know, he got what could have been a double play grounder under normal circumstances from Adam Rosales. Instead, that turns into a hit, and then, you know, the whole thing blows up. You know, the bug was just kind of a fluke. He tripped and, you know, just an awful way to lose a game. But, you know, at that point, you had no outs. Running from first and third, your odds are not looking all that great. But I think the biggest issue there was falling behind those first two batters, then coming in with very hittable pitches, and then, you know, next thing you know, they have a couple of runners on base, and you're in trouble. You can't afford to do that.
What's your take on the dynamic of the relationship between Bruce Bochy and Santiago Casilla? Because, you know, they've been together for years. There's a definite trust factor there. Yet earlier this year, I know Casilla wasn't happy when he didn't close out a game. I mean, it's been a lot more of a matchup situation, I think, in the Giants bullpen this year. And it does get a little sensitive when you're talking about a closer, because that closer, he wants to just finish the game. He wants to be the guy no matter what. You got to stick with me kind of thing. But Bruce Bochy has to be concerned with winning games. So how do you look at that relationship and maybe what it might be going forward?
Yeah, I wonder a little bit about the impact on their relationship of that incident they had when Casilla kind of stormed off the mound when Bochy came out to get him, and then Bochy called him back. And, you know, I think feelings got kind of raw there and personal. And I don't know how much, you know, for public consumption, they patched things up. I don't know privately how much they actually did. But that was it was a weird incident, and it seemed very uncharacteristic of Casilla, who's a very placid guy, as I mentioned, a very religious guy. But, you know, a guy with a lot of pride. And I think in that instance, that pride got the best of it, because he desperately wanted to get the hitter. I think it was Jake Lamb of the Diamondbacks, who had taken him deep in a game in San Francisco to tie the game that the Diamondbacks eventually came back and won that game. So Casilla desperately wanted to impose his will against the guy who had beaten him, and Bochy didn't give him the chance, which I thought was the right baseball move. But Casilla's pride really got the best of him. So I don't know how much they have repaired their relationship. But, you know, if they don't pick up an elite closer, he's going to be a critical guy. So, you know, Bochy needs to keep running, because what are his options? Otherwise, you know, you could go matchups, but, you know, Javier Lopez has not had a good year. Romo just came off the DL. You know, Osich is very young. You know, sometimes good, sometimes not so great. Hunter Strickland throws gas, but he's a home run given machine. So, yeah. So, what are your options?
Really, you don't have any. I mean, yeah, you're right. And you're missing Jeremy Affelt, maybe more than you thought. You know, I mean, when he retired, you have to move on. But at the same time, you kind of miss that veteran presence in there, I think.
Yeah, and particularly his versatility, because he wasn't strictly a left-handed guy as far as, you know, just getting lefties. He wasn't as special as he could get left-handed hitters and right-handed hitters out. So a guy like that was very valuable. And you know, that veteran presence, that comic relief he brought.
Right.
You know, he's a guy who was very well liked, and you know, you miss a guy like that when he's away. You know, he was a member of that core four, and you know, I think there's a good chance that more of that core four is going to disperse next season. You know, they were key contributors to all three World Series titles, but they're not the same pitchers anymore. And I think, you know, the Giants probably in the offseason are going to have to take a hard look at their bullpen.
Well, there's our plug for our next podcast on Wednesday. Jeremy Affelt is going to be our guest. So thanks for that. And thanks so much for your time, Jorge. Really appreciate it. Always enjoy reading everything that you write in USA Today. And look forward to seeing you at the ballpark soon.
You got it, Joe. Good talking to you.
That's Jorge Ortiz from USA Today. Join us again on Wednesday. A very special guest, former Giants left-handed reliever Jeremy Affelt, will join us. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.